Hey everybody, this is Drew.
And this is Blake.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 136. Before we get to our game, I was going to shoot through our social media preamble real quick. Go and get that out of the way. You can find us on all the social media platforms just by searching our incredibly long and awesome podcast name. You can keep track of our comings and goings. The most important thing, though, is we would like people to come hang out when we do our Twitch streams for the co-op endeavors. It gives you a kind of a brief preview of things to come, and you know, you'd come hang out with us and chit-chat about everything. We tend to do those Wednesdays around 9:30 central to about midnight. Depending on things, but most of the time it's Wednesday nights, 9:30 central to midnight. We do that with our podcast editor slash cousin Brian. He hangs out, and if you don't like the editing, blame him. It's all his fault. If you do like the editing, we gave him the suggestions on certain things. We do have a Patreon and a store. Patreon, you know, we put the unedited versions of the podcast on there.
Yeah. And the occasional, when we have a guest video, I'll put the guest video on there.
Yeah.
We don't edit those, so we don't put them on it. We don't put them on the YouTube channel or anything.
Hey, like I said, we do have a store. You basically get just about anything you want. A couple of our cool arts, 100 episode art and all that stuff. All that art is thanks to Devious Pixel.
Yeah. If you go to the store and you see something, I mean, that can make pretty just about anything or anything. If there's an art you like from one of the previous guests that you don't see a shirt for, which I haven't made shirts for all of them, and you want a shirt for a previous guest or anything like that, or if you want art on something that you think the store might have that's not on our store, just message us or just email us or something like that, and I can just go onto the website and I can make something with the other art or put it on another item if you want it, like a jacket. There's like a jacket for the original art, like a zip jacket for the original art, but I don't have a jacket, like a light jacket for anything else. If you want something, just ask for it. Takes me about 15-20 minutes to make something.
Yeah. And like I said, anything. We got beanies, koozies, underwear, hoodies, sweaters, jackets. You know, just check it out. And I think that kind of covers all of our preamble. It's pretty good. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our game.
Yeah. We're doing halfway good about announcing the game sometimes when we remember.
Mm-hmm. So the game we're talking about today is RoboCop Rogue City. RoboCop Rogue City is fairly new. It originally came out November 2nd, 2023, and it came out on PS5, Xbox Series SX, and Windows. There was a Switch version, but it got canceled.
I wonder why.
Who knows? Probably.
Imagine that game stuttering and not being able to play during the explosive sections.
Yeah, I don't think the Switch
game's very explosive and will not be able to handle everything happening on screen in this game.
And visually, the game is quite gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a really good looking game, especially for a licensed game. I mean, we don't play that many licensed games. Who knows if licensed games are getting better? They're famously bad. This is a licensed game, but it's an original storyline. But we'll talk about how story isn't the strong point of RoboCop because we will. I don't know if you got in your note, because we did, I forget when, after we played the game or while we were playing the game, we decided to go ahead and watch all four movies.
Mm-hmm. Over the course of like a week or so. A
couple of weeks, we watched all four. Yeah, we set four, the original trilogy and the the remake of the first movie. We watched all the movies and then played the game, and then you're like, well, there's talking in the movie and the game.
Yeah, there's talking.
Yeah, but we'll get into that kind of stuff. It's a good-looking game.
Yeah, it is very, very good. The developer is, hope I pronounce it right, it's Teyon, T-E-Y-O-N. They're based out of Krakow, Poland. They've been around since 2006, and they have made 92 games.
Jesus Christ.
They've made quite a few games now.
Is that like them as the lead, or like they helped make a bunch of games?
I believe that they have made a bunch of games. Now, when I talk about the actual games and stuff they've made, you're like, oh, okay, I can see why they made so many.
Yeah, well, I want to go through each one, start from the first one.
Okay, so the very first one is called Burn. It came out in 2007, and it is a first-person shooter. So they've been in the first-person shooter business a while.
Yeah. Neil said RoboCop Rogue City is a first-person shooter.
Yeah, for sure. So we go through a couple different things where, like, the first, from, like, 2007 to about 2009, they were like, let's do some, like, action games, some first-person shooter games, some war games, and just kind of, like, what do we have? We have Battle Rage, Distinct War, Blind Shot, Assassin's Confession, and then around 2009... they debuted on Nintendo's download service, the DSiWare, and in WiiWare. And a lot of those were, we'll say, drastic change from the first-person shooters.
Well, Nintendo ain't gonna promote, especially back then. They're a little looser now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, Nintendo's not going to be supporting a whole lot of shooting games on their platform.
It was like a lot of cute puzzle games and stuff like that, including Ball Fighter, Herbert the Teddy Bear, Winter Games, 1001 Crystal Mazes.
Just junk.
It would seem like shovelware almost.
They're just making junk for a while.
Because it goes on to do, like I said, a whole bunch of stuff. One of their bigger things, though, includes something called the 101 Pets. And that's 101 Shark Pets, 101 Lizard Pets. It's a bunch of pet-carrying simulating games.
Mm.
And they made a bunch of them. And then, like, around the end of 2009, they gained publishing rights with Nintendo, which allowed them to publish a lot of all their games, the 3DS, the DSiWare, WiiWare, Wii U, and PS3, and a couple of other mobile platforms. And they continued to do that for a while. And it wasn't until... And they said they continued to do that for a while. And whilst they were doing... I think that was really just them, like, hey, this is, like... money, like, let's just put out a bunch of these. Like,
are they selling this stuff though?
I mean, you put it for a dollar, people buy it for a dollar. You know, shovelware, or it gets added in a bunch of packages, because they put out a lot of that stuff. But I think their focus was still trying to come back to do like the
back to blowing people's heads off,
kinda, because they kept going back to these arcade shooters, primarily this thing called Heavy Fire. Heavy Fire is an arcade shooter. They managed to put out three of them. The final one being Heavy Fire Afghanistan, which is actually the same director and writer as the game we're speaking about. So I think from that point on, they just wanted to do a couple of other things, because they were still doing other stuff all the way until 2018. So what was that, 2009, basically? 9 to 18, so 9 years, they're just kind of like just pumping out these games. And around 2018, they go, hey, we're going to found a sister company called Digital Bards, and that's going to focus on what we were doing, the WiiWare, the DSiWare, and just show, you know, all that stuff.
Probably iPhone and Android games,
iPhone
now.
Mobile, just stuff, anything that, you know, helps them. I think that was mainly to help them funnel money, because in 2009, Digital Bards products were designed for personal computers, digital downloads, and online platforms and mobile. Like, that's what they were doing. But during that same year, September of 2019, later on that year, they actually announced the development of their first game. And this was back to basics. They were like, let's do a first-person shooter, let's do some action, let's have some violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a game we've actually already spoken about on the podcast, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we spoke about it before the new platform.
Format,
my bad.
Format. It ain't that different, let's be honest.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're a little more focused and stuff like that. But the game... The game that they made back in 2019 was Terminator Resistance.
Licensed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's another decent game.
Still, like, you know, an R-rated, slightly adult, you know, explosions and blowing people.
Also, we'll say, I'm going to go ahead and say while we talk about this, another game that we played and beat and then got a better version released with DLC. While, as the recording of this podcast, RoboCop's not getting a better version, but RoboCop is getting a DLC that we're probably not going to play. But I hate when we just happen to play a game on Gamefly, because Terminator Resistance would have been Gamefly, RoboCop, Robo City would have been Gamefly. We play a game, it just happens to come, and then a few months after we play it and have our time with it, they release a DLC that we're just, in the games like this, we're just not going to go hunting for that kind of DLC.
Yeah, because that was Terminator Resistance, and then like you said, their DLC is called Terminator Resistance Annihilation Line, which is just a badass sounding name.
Well, it's mentioned a lot in the game. I don't know if it's mentioned in the movies. This isn't the Terminator podcast, but that's a really cool, terrifying thing that's like not mentioned in any of the movies, I don't think, but it's mentioned in that game quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, again, not the Terminator podcast, because the movies, most of the movies aren't in the future where the Annihilation Line is. They're in the past trying to figure stuff out. But still, so they did Terminator Resistance, which
was a success. People liked it.
Which went over fairly well. They also, like I said, that was 2019, and then 2021 they announced that they were doing RoboCop, and then RoboCop didn't come out until a few years later. So it was about three years? And so they've been doing pretty good. And besides those, there was one I skipped over because I forgot about it. But in 20... Actually, no, they didn't do that. Someone else did that. No, they did. In 2014, they did a Rambo video game, which was like them trying to... Again, more another licensed product, first-person shooter, and they're like, we want to get back to making stuff we want to make. We're tired of this kiddie stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the kiddie stuff was actually probably bringing in enough money that was their primary focus.
So dumb that Chronic Crap makes money.
The DSI, well, because
just the, what is mobile stuff in general just makes enough money that they can support development of other stuff. It's just like, God, people stop buying garbage, man.
Yeah, unfortunately. But they've, like I said, they're still, they did just put out something in 2024 called Rensport, and it's a driving simulator. It's a racing driving simulator.
On mobile or something?
No, it seemed to be on console. Console and PC.
Strange. Mm-hmm. So probably with the success of RoboCop, they will probably be, in the next couple of months or year or so, they'll be announcing some other, another licensed shooting game of some sort.
I hope so. Admittedly, right now they are, like you just said, there is a standalone expansion called Unfinished Business, and it's not out yet, but its ETA is supposed to be third quarter this year, so it should be around fall.
They did a gameplay trailer. It looked like just more of the same.
It's more of the same, but it does have some other missions, like some dream sequences or something. Well,
you can play as Murphy a little bit.
Yeah,
which kind of looked like just kind of cop stuff.
You're supposed to be investigating like his murder and stuff like that, and be literally running around as Alex Murphy, not RoboCop, because they wanted to like give that fantasy to people. So that's neither here nor there, but still. And let's see here. So they've done a bunch of games, and I didn't see anything else they were working on besides the DLC for this coming out and that Rensport that came out late last year. The publisher of the game, trying to shed some light on them, is a I think we've spoken about them before a couple times, but they're called Nacon, and they've been in a couple of things that we've spoken about. Nacon is like a, I don't know, they do a lot of like really good indie stuff, to the point they own a couple of studios that we've spoken about at length, including Cyanide, Daedalic Entertainment, Spiders, and Midgar Studios. And we've spoken about, maybe not on all of them, but the first one that pops to mind was Midgar Studios. We just spoke about them back on episode 109 for Edge of Eternity.
Hope that game gets some money, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A studio that just announced a new game too.
Exactly. So I wanted to bring that up to shed some light. There's an Edge of Eternity sequel, which I'm sure Drew and I will play.
Yeah, this is like going to action combat instead of turn based, and the turn based combat was arguably the best part of that game. And now they're going to ruin that, but whatever.
But Nacon's out there doing good work. Like I said, Spiders, Cyanide, and Daedalic are all people we enjoy as well. We mentioned earlier the game looking pretty gorgeous. Like there are moments where it's
gorgeous for like a dirty Detroit game.
Yeah, unfortunately they do that. But
it's like RoboCop is to like Detroit as Batman is to Gotham. Like he works really hard, but like makes no difference.
Oh God, yeah.
Like, Gotham's just nasty. Detroit's just nasty. Robocop's working. Batman's working. Not making no difference.
Well, there's also Gotham's a make-believe city. Detroit's a not make-believe city.
I mean, just honestly, they're not similar in size and stuff like that. I think Gotham's more like a New York, maybe, kind of a thing. But I think the concept is like a guy trying real hard. And both sort of anti-heroes in a way. That RoboCop kills.
RoboCop
definitely kills.
Murders.
Is it murder when it's bad guys that are shooting at him? That's a gray area for a cop, maybe.
I mean, yeah, depending on. But it is on the Unreal 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that probably goes to why it looks... Because it's weird, because sometimes it can go like, man, like, these look really good. And then other times you see people, you're like, ugh, that looks gross.
Some people, yeah, you do see some faces that are put on the movies.
Yeah.
And they're clearly modeled after that. I don't know if they, like, scan the person or anything like that.
Your footage. Police
chief or whatever, your captain of your... he looks like the guy from the movies. Mm-hmm.
Then your partner, Ann Lewis.
Looks like she's from the movies. But the random people maybe look... People just look weird in video games sometimes, a lot of times.
Unfortunately, they get that the Uncanny Valley thing going on.
That's a little less these days. Just people that just don't look exactly right. Especially, I think the people like that stand out when they're next to people that you recognize. So, they look stranger because they're, like, just not, I don't know. You put a person who looks like an actor standing beside just a regularly generated NPC, you're like, that person looks weird.
Well, also, it doesn't help that the asset reusing is some of your police officers are
the same people.
Bums or people you help in the street. They just have dirt on their face or they have red hair instead of blonde hair. You're just like, okay.
That saves on money.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to really be thinking about it.
You're not. But, like, so the people that matter look good.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. It is, briefly, the director is Peter Latouche. He has directed... 5 games, including that, like I said earlier, the Heavy Fire, Afghanistan, Rambo, Terminator Resistance, the DLC for Terminator Resistance, and RoboCop.
And probably the DLC.
It most likely be doing the DLC, but it's not up here. And the game had 5 writers.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
It had 5 writers, but it had a lead guy named...
RoboCop shoot bad guy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But it had our lead writer is named Jerzy Zaluski, and he wrote Terminator Resistance, Annihilation Line, Rogue City, and there is a Terminator Resistance Complete Edition that has the DLC included.
Yeah, I think that was when we talked about it got Series X enhanced, and it was all. I think that might have been a PS. That was like their push for PS5 was their PS5 only version, unless it come to Xbox One X as well.
I think it's PS5 and Series X. I think it was next. Because
when they announced it, it was like, I'm coming to PS5.
Because the screenshot that I have here has got the Series X banner across the top. So I think
we're not going to do that. Talk about that a lot, but I'm not going to go back and play that again just to play a DLC for that. If the RoboCop thing is standalone and we can get it like digitally for like $5,
maybe. Yeah.
Or if it releases a separate disc. I don't know why they would release a separate disc for that, but if it happens to be by itself. You said standalone, and some of the announcements for the Unfinished Business said standalone. That might mean it's released separately if it is and digital.
And we'll get it cheaper.
I would probably run through it, but I'm not going to buy another copy or do a whole other copy of RoboCop.
And besides that, like I said... they're still working, but like I said, it doesn't say if he's working on the DLC, but I'm sure he is.
Man.
And then our writer, but our main writer, the Jerzy Zaluski, he's written almost everything the dude has directed, including the Rambo. Actually, not including, he didn't do the Rambo, but he did the Terminator Resistance, Annihilation Line, Rogue City. And he did 2 other games that aren't a part of this game. One's called Soul Blight, which was in 2018, and another thing called Hank Straight Jacket, and that was in 2023. I don't know, neither one of those are attached to this company, so I didn't really look into them, but he does other stuff outside the company.
Yeah.
And that kind of it for the behind the scenes stuff. Well, one cool thing too, for those who were wondering, Peter Weller, the actor for RoboCop and the voice for RoboCop, did reprise his role, and he is the only person who did reprise their role.
There's a chunk of the budget for the game right there.
Yeah, it was him coming back and
that would be important. They would have had to you know, meet any kind of, I mean, I don't think he would be a greedy guy. He's not like he's an A-list actor, but he is important to the RoboCop franchise.
And Peter Weller is a good actor, though. He's been
in only, like, in RoboCop 1?
He's RoboCop 1 and 2. He's not in the
third. He did in 3, and he obviously didn't appear. Didn't even do a guest spot in the remake.
I don't believe he did. You have any questions or anything that I've touched on?
I don't think so. We talked about the game. Is that a...
Okay, yeah, I'm getting to that. Hold on.
So, like I said at the beginning, the company's clearly trying to do a whole bunch of shooting stuff. This game is a first-person game. I don't think you don't play anything before you're RoboCop, do you?
No, the game starts. I didn't think so. There's like a whole intro reel and stuff like that that kind of pays homage to the Peter Van Housen's RoboCop 1 with like some of the horrible news and stuff like that that goes on, and then these people called Torchheads, which are like these gang, and it's like the intro of like them taking over a new studio, and then your game starts with RoboCop pulling up and just going, getting out of the cop and just kind of go, because he's been RoboCop, because they call it a midquel, because it takes place between RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3. It ends with like a big story event from RoboCop 3 starting.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't remember, because I know we watched all the movies, but I couldn't place events across the three movies, honestly.
The only things you really, you need to know RoboCop 1, obviously. The only thing you really need to know about RoboCop 2 is the drug called Nuke.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk of that in the game.
And then
it doesn't really make an impact. You'd think that'd be like a thing where like a gang member would take some Nuke and then like go berserk on you. It's not a game mechanic. Like, it's not something that happens in the game.
There's a, let's take Nuke! Nuke, you know,
and there's talk of Nuke being on the streets and talk about it, but it's not like it's like lots of games would be like, I'm taking the Nuke, and then they would get rage and they'd start throwing crap at you or something, or like hit you and like maybe make RoboCop stagger. None of that's
just blowing off body parts immediately.
Yeah,
immediately. The only other thing you'll need to know is, slight spoiler alert for like one of the big final sequences, is you have to know the ending to RoboCop 2, because there's the RoboCop 2, the giant mechanized villain, and you do fight it, a version of it at the end of the game.
Yeah. I will say on a positive note, because I mean, we generally like this game, but on a positive note, thankfully, there was a fairly decent chance any kind of publisher would be like, hey, make an open world Detroit game.
Yeah.
And but they, I guess they didn't, that didn't happen with them. So thankfully, this game is actually level based. There are slightly open areas. There's like a little neighborhood thing you run through and help people and stuff like that. And like issue tickets and citations to people and talk to different NPCs and stuff like that. Little open area like that, which you return to a couple of times. But thankfully, I would have not have done a lot of this game, or maybe even played this game, if it was a big old open, pointlessly big open world Detroit RoboCop game, which I initially thought when this was getting announced that was what this was going to be. Especially with the name like Rogue City.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be a big old pointlessly big city with a bunch of nonsense to do for no reason. And thankfully it's not. It's a closed level. Most of it, if you're not walking around that little town, a little neighborhood, a little neighborhood section that you come back to two or three times.
About three times throughout the
year. Like the train yard and the other buildings and stuff like that it's all level based. It's all closed off levels, which we need more closed off level games. Maybe like talk about open world stuff all the time. He avoids it like the plague. I do play a couple of occasionally. A recent game, Fly, which we'll save, was a larger than life open world game. And I have Assassin's Creed Odyssey on my back burner. Is something I'm kind of poking that bear a little bit here and there. But I just, man, it's so good that this was just a closed off, shoot some folks, you know.
I don't want to give it too much credit necessarily, but it's also kind of funny that it's of a similar, they're from the same country, but you look at CD Projekt Red and how they handled Witcher 2, and it was a massive open area.
Well, I mean, talk about Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk now are some of the biggest games in history.
Yeah, but I was just specifically my Witcher favorite 2. Version of open world
is Witcher
has
2.
Always been Witcher is Witcher 2, because it's a big big area.
Yeah,
but you know, you can go anywhere you want within that area, always, but it's not like 9 hours.
I recommend, or if anybody's familiar, pretty much any of the Mafia game. Blake's played 1 and 2, I think.
I think just 1.
You didn't play 2 yet? You played just Mafia 1?
Yeah.
Okay, but the size of Mafia are varies. They're open world, but they're small and manageable. But that stays true to 1, 2, and 3. 3 being my favorite Mafia game. But, like, I'm hoping the new Mafia game, The Old Country, stays of a reasonable size. That's about as big as I want open world game to be. One town in a surrounding area. Still bigger than Witcher. Witcher 2 is probably the preferred size. And it, because Witcher 2 provides density over size.
Yeah.
And density is way better than size.
Yeah.
We'll say. But thankfully, RoboCop does none of that stuff, and it's just mostly level based, and it which makes it a game like this. Like we're all speak almost, I think, almost entirely positively about this game.
Yeah.
Besides the there's dull parts, but I think the dullness is a RoboCop thing in general, which I'm gonna say. Mm-hmm. But you have your time, because like what this results in is a game that doesn't quite. Maybe it's a little bit long in the tooth, but I got all the achievements in 18, right under 19 hours, like 18 hours and 57 minutes, so right under 19 hours.
Mine was 19 even.
I beat you about 3 minutes.
Yeah, mine was 19 even.
So 18, so right under. So maybe a smidge, you know. Maybe a smidge too long, but I wasn't like, man, this game needs to wrap up. I was generally like, because you were kind of going on to the next level. If I was 15, 20 hours driving back and forth across Detroit, I'd been like huffing and puffing probably.
Well, one of the things too is the development of the game is they did work in, they formed a partnership with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the company that holds the rights to RoboCop, and they worked with them to ensure a faithfulness. A
random ass company has the rights with that name to RoboCop.
Metro.
That'd be some movie studio.
Yeah, they're a massive movie studio. Are Metro they? Gold. Yeah, you'll reckon like when I pull it, you'll know exactly what it is. Metro Goldwyn and my, that's just their official name.
Oh, MGM.
Yeah.
MGM. I've never heard somebody say the name. It's just MGM.
Well, because I have the name here, not the acronym.
Yeah, MGM. Nobody's ever. No. Yeah. I bet nobody's seen anything beyond the acronym.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah.
MGM Studios. MGM. Yeah. Okay, I got you. That's funny.
Sorry,
if you said that, I was like, who in the world?
But so they have the they worked in very closely with them to ensure faithfulness to the films, having even the,
oh, it's faithful.
Yeah, the people even watching them multiple times, ending like. They did, like, I swear it's a one-for-one scale, because you do go into the police station that RoboCop is based in, and I swear it's a one-to-one scale, because when we watched the movies, there was, like, a bench and then, like, a shelf, and the shelf had pictures, and I swear they just, like, they took put...
from the movie?
Yeah, it's, like, the exact same pictures, the shelf, and even the way the tiles on the floor were, and, like, they just put it in the movie for scale.
Mm-hmm. In the game.
In the game is what it, kind of what it felt like. Now, one of the other things that does lead to a 19-hour playthrough is the game director, Peter, said that they wanted to incorporate sluggish movements despite it being a first-person shooter that are generally fast gameplay like Call of Duties and stuff like that. He's like,
RoboCop's not fast.
No. So it took them a while to get the balance down just right, but he wanted the game, what is it? The game director said that reaching a balance on RoboCop's movement was one of the biggest design challenges on the project. He is kind of slow and tankish, but we have to be true to the lore. But we can also not be super slow or super heavy. That was the hardest part, was finding a good balance.
Because it felt fine, and I think that's cool. They put a lot of thought into that, and I think that thought and effort pays off.
Yeah, because. Yeah, because you are slow and sluggish. There is no running. RoboCop doesn't.
You have a mild sprint, don't you? Like a.
You have a like some of like your
he picks up abilities. Is there not like a low grade?
It's like if you like hold the
power walk sprint kind of thing.
If you hold the button, it's like it's like slightly faster, but not really.
And I said, and that play another thing that plays into the size of the game. If it was huge and you're walking around, you're like, man, this is freaking slow. If you're walking through a level and you're walking through, and the balance of moving through the level and enough stuff to shoot, like you keep moving, you don't think about how like you're RoboCop, you're walking through a freaking like in movies. He's walking through a place and just. Mm-hmm. Blowing people away, and that's what you do in this game. You don't think about that you're moving so slow. The only time you feel kind of slow is probably in the police station, because you're walking around talking to people.
In the police station, it's a little more crowded.
Yeah.
The only thing that felt genuinely a little too big was probably the train yard.
It's pretty big. You do have to walk across. There is a shortcut you could open unlock to come back out, but the train yard's pretty big.
But you do have to walk across, like, the entire train yard.
It's a full size train yard.
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest part, just because of its distance. But you are just, and it never gets tired. Like every time I was like, because he has, it's the sound effect that people know if you're fans of RoboCop. You know those footsteps, you know, and you just, and the entire time. I did have a note that at one point, like in almost all video games, you do go down into a sewers, into the sewers.
Yeah, every game has a sewer.
But when you went down to the sewers and you're like, oh, it's like mucky and gross and muddy, but it still sounded as if he was walking on asphalt. They didn't change the sound effect at all. And that kind of upset me. But I just thought it was kind of funny. You get it immediately. It is RoboCop's gun.
Yeah, the Auto 9.
You get the Auto 9. Now, it's not till about the third story mission do you start getting upgrade chips, which when I first turned it on, I was like, I hated this. I didn't like it. I didn't understand it.
It sucked. I mean, it doesn't get better. Like, you're really just, you get to a point where you're getting a specific upgrade that you, like, two major upgrades you want from the gun. And we'll talk about those here in a second. But, like, this, obviously, we're not going to say a lot of negative, really, about this game, because the game is fine. It's good. This upgrade system sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
You have the gun upgrade, and then you have ability upgrades. I liked all the abilities. All the ones that I got, I didn't get every ability in the game because I don't think you can. I don't think there's enough game to get it all.
Yeah.
And I did everything in the game. Yeah, I got the 1K.
We got the 1K, yeah.
But some of the abilities are really cool. You have, like, you know, some. There's one that you get called, like, Safecracker, but you encounter, like, six safes in the game.
I don't think it's even six. It's, yeah, like, three. They're only in the neighborhood section.
Yeah, so I found that kind of.
And I worked towards that skill. So those you get from, like, don't you get experience or something like that? And then you get to, like, level up. You're not leveling up, but you get a skill point. Is that how it works?
Because
I didn't put a note for
you,
that.
You get experience for everything you do, all the side quests, finding the.
But it's baseline. Like, you get enough experience, you get a point, and you put a point into one of your skills. Points into your skills. I thought I was going to need the safecracker thing, so I ran towards the safecracking ability and just didn't need it at all.
No, I wish there was a respec, because I'm sure I had some points.
Not
that I could tell.
I don't remember.
I mean, because there's about eight abilities that you can go through, and
there's some you don't know what they're doing. Like, there's like a talking to people one. And I don't know.
Oh,
like,
increasing supposedly, your public trust is what it's called.
Yeah, I think it may, like, add, because this isn't like a Mass Effect or anything, but it is adding, there is like some dialogue stuff. And I think that if that's at a certain threshold, you get different things to say or something like that. But it's not important enough that you need it to, like, move through stuff or to get alternate endings to your little side jobs. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
There's like two or three different endings you can get.
There was something we had read somewhere, because there's not a guide. There wasn't a guide for this, because you don't really need a guide for this. So somebody talking about, dang, I didn't write nothing down for the skills. I forgot about that. But it was a more important, like, there was like a skill that it said, like, rush and get this skill. Do you remember which one it was? I don't remember what
there
was it was.
There's a psychology skill that lets you just get more experience.
Maybe it was that one.
That was like the main one. It was like tier two, because there's three tiers of each one.
So maybe it was like, get the experience boost as soon as possible. Maybe it was that one. Maybe it's as simple as that. We do that in any games with a skill tree anyway. You want to get that experience. The earlier you get the experience boost, the better off you are.
Because you have to build towards each, like you said, there's tiers.
Yeah.
Each, I think.
Yeah, the RoboCop.
There's like 10 levels of each skill. There are, hold on, I got them right here. There's combat, armor, vitality, engineering, focus, scanning, deduction, and psychology. And they each have 10 nodes. So that's, you know, what is that? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But yeah, so there's 80. You can get, there's 80 levels required to do this stuff. Now,
okay, see, I think armor was one too, because you get the thresholds on armor where small arms bullets no longer affect you, and boy, does that feel good.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the movies where the bullets just bounce off of them. You get to do that at the I got it pulled up so I can see it now, finally.
Yeah, I got it, yeah, I got it right, I got it here.
Probably look at the same website. Yeah, I remember the armor would be being the important one, because you just get to have some, you know, bouncing off of you. The other stuff, fatalities, health, obviously. I think scanning was another one.
Scanning was kind of worthless, I feel like, just because it was every now and again you'd have to do like Batman Arkham, where you have to like investigate the scanner mode and like scan around like a crime scene or whatever, and it lets you scan faster. And I'm just like, that's, yeah, It didn't bother me. The speed wasn't too terrible.
Yeah, the armor says small caliber rounds ricochet off your armor and damage nearby enemies.
Yeah, it's great. I did like, I did go for, I think I did max out vitality just because some of the later stuff, because you start to, you start taking against like higher caliber weapons and explosives and stuff. And so having the maxed out vitality, which let me, for one, I could carry more health packs. Two, I had the ability to get more health packs from like fuse boxes and stuff like that. I could charge up using electricity. And then it had an auto heal. I could heal up to 75% of my maximum health. Yeah. Just kind of auto.
It looks like focused edge gave you the slow motion skill.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I did any. Whenever you breach, which we haven't talked about that yet.
That's cool.
Whenever you do a breach, there's like a slow motion thing. And it doesn't really bother me too much. I don't think I put a single point into focus.
I mean, I might have. I'm not sure.
I think I did get the first tier of every ability just because I was like, I had a bunch of points near the end. And I was like, I have all the stuff that I want. So let me just start kind of slaying them willy-nilly. But one of the better ones, like the scanning thing, I think I did do the scanning thing for two things. There is the ricochet ability and then the ricochet split. Which, once you get that, it doesn't exist in the game until you get the ability, but then it puts these random squares on the roof and on the ceiling, and it literally lets you aim at it so you can shoot behind cover and around corners. And then the split, when you would shoot it, your bullet would break, and you would hit multiple people. So it got really cool, but that's also stuff you can only use indoors, and sometimes you fight outside, and like the whole train yard and steel mill, that's worthless because you're fighting outside.
Yeah.
But later on in the game, when you're going through a bunch of, like, going through the sewers, going through OCP headquarters and stuff like that, like, it became really cool. And I got, like, shooting people behind corners and around corners. It was dope.
Yeah.
And then the main, I think the first one is the deduction. Because it lets you, because you have a scanning ability that will highlight enemies and highlight.
Does it cool? It's like the RoboCop vision. Like, it goes across the green and then, like, highlights enemies for you. It looks cool.
It highlighted enemies, but the scanning thing highlighted all things, including like hidden stuff, and because there were some things that were like literally like a hidden switch. You press a switch on a person's desk and it opens up a hidden compartment in their room, and then it put stuff on the map so you could things to investigate, like side quests and stuff, and also gave you more 30% more experience once you got it maxed out. That's the one you wanted to max out first, was deduction. And then I didn't do anything in psychology, I don't think, because that's the one that's like, ooh,
yeah,
double public trust and
earn public trust. Don't know what impact that has. The game's very vague on that. And there's one I talked about, the empathetic processing highlights favorable dialogue options. Okay, so that's, yeah.
It says, whatever. But, and then there's a combat skill for, like, meleeing.
Is it meleeing? I don't think it's meleeing.
Well, yeah, you have, like, a dash, and then, like, you have a shockwave and stuff. I whatever. I like shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do get to melee people, and it's great. You just punch them, and they explode. And then you can even grab people and throw them at other people. Because the melee was weak but great, because
it's about the gun.
Yeah, the auto 9 is great, but you know, some punk comes running up to you and you just, you know,
also you can pick up other guns too, but like, why bother?
Late game I did the grenade launcher and like the minigun for like, because you later on in the game you start coming across like people have like body armor on and stuff like that, and so your auto 9, as good as your auto 9 is, unless you have like different configuration, because like I said, there's an upgrade to your auto 9 gun.
Yeah,
but you don't get that until after you beat the third story mission.
Yeah, that sounds like third mission. It sounds like a long time.
It is not.
It's really not. You have the gun stuff. So that's done with we talk about that. It's done with the chips, and it's kind of like done like
a pipe puzzle,
like a pipeline puzzle, kind of like you place a piece and it goes to the left or up, or it goes one of the cardinal directions. But you have these different circuit boards. And you get the chips, and the chips fill in the place. And when you connect the dots, the chips power up. It's not as, if that sounds complicated, it's not. It's very simple. It's just not fun. And the chips seem entirely random, which sucks. Random to the point where you have a chip combining to upgrade skills. Chips have a how good they are kind of a thing. Mm. And you get higher level chips. Annoyingly, when you combine, you would think the idea would be combine two of the same chip to get a better version of that same chip. No.
It's random.
It combines to a better version of a random chip. And I think that was I feel like that's a mistake on the, because you're collecting all these chips and you want a better version. You have, like,
well, it's not the chips themselves, it's the nodes that go on the chips. It's the connector pieces, because you get a bunch of them randomly, and then you like you can combine three of them, and they give you a random shape that is usually like an average of the percentage. So it's all it is better to slam them together, but you never it's random what you're gonna get, because like you said, it's either gonna point in one of the four cardinal directions. Sometimes it'll point in multiple, go around corners or hit all four, but it's. And it is one of those things where it's like, oh, here's a percentage. You're doing 18% more damage, but you don't see numbers flying across.
Yeah, this is that arbitrary, any kind of game with numbers. It's an arbitrary percentage. Like, you, all the chips are whatever, 1% up. I think it maxed out at 30%.
Well, you can get high. Like, I think I had some 36s. Like, you can get high.
Yeah, but the problem is the number, the percentage is arbitrary.
Yeah.
What's important is
there are select skills
that are on each of these circuit boards.
Increase damage.
You get circuit boards. How do you get? You just find circuit boards, or you get them
those OCP supply crates, or they're usually a reward for beating a mission.
Yeah, so you get the different circuit boards, and your specific ones you're going to want. Some of the earlier ones are just generic.
It's like more gore, single shot mode, full auto mode, semi auto mode.
Well, what you want full auto?
You want the auto feeder. There's a difference between full auto and auto. You want.
Well, So eventually, you get a board that. You get the semi-auto, which is because the gun by default is just like bang, bang, bang. You get semi-auto, which is like a three-shot.
Burst fire.
And full auto is just a handgun, machine gun. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of stuff you're looking for to get that. But the most important one is there's two, I think, auto feeder and then infinite. Well, I think it's infinite ammo anyway.
Auto feeder is the infinite ammo.
Basically.
But you want full auto plus the auto feeder.
Yeah.
So you literally just hold the trigger down and you don't have to reload. What auto feeder is, you don't have to reload.
Yeah,
your gun just fills with ammo.
That's a cool upgrade that's like in so few shooters.
It's game-breaking, frankly.
Yeah, it's in so
few. And it doesn't really make sense to the world, because it's not like he has like a trailing. He just he pulls it out of his gun holster, his, you know, iconic gun holster, and then you just pull the trigger and you're like, where, it's an auto feeder, but where's it attaching? Because he just...
It's just magic.
Yeah.
RoboCop magic. If y'all didn't know, there's magic in RoboCop.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the only difference between science and magic, or technology and magic, is just
understanding.
So we don't understand the science and technology that goes into making RoboCop, but he has an auto feeder in his.
So it's magic.
Yeah. But it's great. You just hold that gun down and you walk
through. It's going to be a while. It's going to be like, it's more of like a mid to late game, because you won't get the auto feeder till pretty late, but you'll get.
It's after the steel mill when you fight your first.
Yeah. So you'll be, keep an eye out if you're playing. Keep an eye out for that particular circuit board, because that's what you're going to want. Everything else you're not going to notice anyway. And it also doesn't matter what chips you use to get to those upgrades. It doesn't matter. As long as you, because you got to connect it and light it up. You have to connect it to like a, because they light up as you connect them, and you got to connect. And when you connect it to that one, it lights up.
It's the only thing, it's literally exactly a pipe puzzle.
Yeah, like Bioshock or something like
BioShock
that.
Bioshock hacking game. You know exactly, it's a pipe puzzle. Mm-hmm. You have to get the water from circuits, this location.
It's circuits and not water.
Now, it does have some cool things you can trick, because it does have, each board has positives and negatives. But you can cheat it, kind of, because sometimes you'll come to a thing that's a T-junction. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you're like, okay, if I put down a T-junction, one of the things it's going to shoot through is, in fact, a negative. But instead of doing a T-junction, you just do a straight line where there's no offshoots. You can bypass the negatives. So you can go
That's the kind of the minimal puzzle solving the game wants you to do to make these circuit boards work.
But sometimes no matter what you do, they'll put a negative right beside or attached to a really great positive. So you have to do that. And it's kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. But the Auto 9, where it's at. And some of the other guns, they you can pick up, you know, handgun, SMG.
There's just no point.
The only thing is, like, late game, you'll need like the auto assault rifle and stuff like that. Because you do take on the Ed 209s, those giant bipedal robots that roar like lions.
Tigers,
bears,
tiger noises.
Yeah,
that's in my notes. The ED 209 units make tiger noises.
And those fights are rough.
They can be. You're given enough space, and like one you fight, and what you can hide behind pillars and stuff like that. Sometimes if you, they're not smart. I think like you just stand kind of behind a pillar, and you kind of peek your gun out enough, and you full auto behind a pillar. You're fine. I don't remember it ever being too difficult to do that.
No, but you do. Besides Ed 209s,
mostly gang members.
Yeah, you have the Torchheads, you have a biker gang called the Street Vultures, and then there's a mercenary crew you encounter about two-thirds of the way through the game, and they have, like, body armor, so they're a little more hard.
Well, speaking of bikers and a melee attack.
Oh, yeah. you can punch bikers off their motorcycles.
That's awesome.
And it's great. And, again, because RoboCop is, he's there to uphold the law and take down evildoers, you can just shoot their motorcycles and blow them up. Yeah. Or you can shoot somebody off their motorcycle, pick their motorcycle up, and throw it at a bunch of people.
Yeah. And which I did do, and I wish I had a recording. I was like, I need to think about, like, me and Blake were talking about, like, for just to have recordings of anything we do, besides not just YouTube videos, but, like, to post stuff to our social media of recordings of stuff like that, where, like, I had a time, and I just don't think to hit record on my, you know, take a quick snapshot of your game, where I punched a guy off a bike, grabbed his bike, and threw it at a bunch of other bikers, and it felt really cool, and it looked really awesome, and I was like, man, that was cool, and did not think to, like, record it.
Yeah, the amount of the violence that you get to do in the game is...
Oh, what's the first achievement everybody's going to get?
Oh, the very first achievement I caught, it's my favorite, and it was the first achievement that I got in the entire game. And you can see my reaction to it.
Oh, yeah, because you got your videos.
Yeah. So, as of this record, I do have... We spoke about some of our YouTube stuff earlier.
It's my first achievement, too.
Yeah. So, as of this record... I actually have started putting out, there's 9 videos that will be coming out every Saturday, but as of this record...
Sunday.
Every Sunday, yeah. Every Sunday. As of this record, the first video is out, part 1 of 9. And they range, some of them are like an hour, some of them are 2 hours, just because it just depends on the amount of time I had to play. You see my genuine reaction in the first video, because it's called Zip It Up.
And zip This Up.
Zip This Up, and it's for shooting somebody in a sensitive area.
Yeah.
It's literally
it's my first achievement, too.
Me too. It's the first thing I got.
It's the first thing everybody does.
Is just start capping folk.
Oh, man.
And, of course, you blowing off hands and head. Like, the violence is there.
Because that's the first. I eliminated an enemy using a throwable object and then beating the first mission for the order of my achievements.
Yeah, you get them. They're pretty good. I like it a lot.
That's funny. That's the thing. What we do the first thing everybody does? Shoot them in the balls.
Yep. And the funny thing is, I got mine... Because, we rewatched the videos fairly recently because I edited them down and stuff like that. But I punched the guy, and because he came running at me, and I'm, like, yelling at him, like, was it worth it? And his dead body's on the ground, and I just start shooting him in the crotch, and then the achievement pings.
Even after they're dead?
After it is dead. And I was just genuinely excited about it.
But funny.
It's funny. And it's just called Zip It Up. Mm. And it is funny, too, is... Every single whatever trophy achievement, they're all lines and quips and stuff from the movies and hit dialogue segments and stuff like that. There's even a
dead or alive, you're coming with me.
He says that a bunch. No offense to him, he does say that a lot. Dead or alive, you're coming with me. But it's a good line. It's a good line, and they have other kind of cool little trivia pieces. There's one cool moment. There's a side quest. Where you, I'm going to preface this, when you go into these side quests, I'm going to talk real quick about some of the characters, is they do have a bunch of, actually, they have, like, they have obviously RoboCop, then they have Ann Lewis, Sergeant Warren Reed, and then there's a news reporter called Casey Wong, and then the OCP CEO, also called the Old Man. Their character models, those are all people from... the movies.
Mm-hmm.
All and they use their character models, they scanned them, and that's why those characters look so good. And then after that, there is a bunch of other characters that they made up for the game.
Yeah.
Including Max Becker, he's an OCP person. Then there is Olivia Blanche, she's a doctor who does like your psychology and stuff to make sure RoboCop is still human.
So I have notes for two characters. She's one of them. She has a really, really fancy robot arm.
Really?
It makes you think like that technology is beyond, like, RoboCop is supposed to be the top of the line, modern, like, this is what technology can do. Her robot arm is a little, they should have redesigned that for this. Is she unique to the game?
She's unique to the game.
Yeah. Okay, because her arm looks way too fancy compared to the modern RoboCop technology that he's supposed to be. Her arm looks a little...
He's also designed to be intimidating.
I guess, but she's the only thing in the game you see like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see anybody else with fancy prosthetic limbs. I feel like, I mean, She should have been more of like a janky looking kind of like a robot arm kind of a thing.
She's a doctor of psychosis, so I think the whole thing is like she probably either spent money or her job. Because she even tells you about how she got the arm and that it was a her arm was exploded off by I think an ED unit that was malfunctioning. She killed her brother in front of her because her brother was like robbing somebody
or something. Or I thought it was just a malfunctioning unit. Period.
That may have been a malfunctioning unit, but and it blew her arm off. So I think OCP spent high dollar,
possibly.
But not only that, they hired her to, so they must have spent to make her look more sleek so that she could operate in a if you have a giant robot arm and you're a psychologist, people are gonna be a little antsy about being in your.
Yeah, I get that kind of stuff. It just seems it seems technology. Technology beyond what RoboCop has.
Yeah. And that happens a couple of times. There's another part when we get to, I'll get to him in just a second, but we do get a homeless guy. He's a police informant called Pickles. He's a pretty chill dude. I'm bringing Pickles up specifically because he's part of this thing I want to talk about. But you also have Ulysses Washington. He's a rookie cop.
My note for him is, it says Ulysses Washington basically hired him off the street.
Yeah, he said he sent in an application a bunch of times supposedly, but they only hired him because they wanted to have a spy on RoboCop, and he was just some guy who was desperate enough to take any deal they offered to become a cop. He's a young kid too, like 20 maybe. Yeah. I'm not even sure if he's that old. And then you have Samantha Ortiz. She's a news reporter, and there's a certain spots that I've seen like people talking about it on goofs and facts on IMDb. Well, she whips out this tiny little digital camera, and you're like, that technology didn't exist when they made RoboCop, and based off the retrofuturism of RoboCop, that technology still wouldn't exist, especially not that small.
Yeah.
And so people kind of made fun of it for that. But I mean, there's very few moments in the game where you're like, the technology doesn't, it'd be probably her arm and then probably her.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the camera. Yeah.
It was like a tiny little digital camera. It was like tiny, smaller than your laptop. But they do hold really well to the retrofuturism, even to the point of in a day and age where we have Wi-Fi, we have wireless signal. RoboCop would his little jacker spike and jack in Mega Man, and that's how he would go through data and stuff like that. And we had to manually type on computers. So I do really like that they upheld the retrofuturism, which I do like. You get that stuff from the aliens and the Fallouts and stuff like that. I do dig that. But the Torchheads, as well as their gang leader Spike, and the Vultures, the Street Vultures, are all also added for the game, including the main bad guy, the new guy, the Warren Antonowski. All that. It's crazy how much of the game was added. Was original, and I was like, "Oh, shit, that's bravo! It's really cool that they were able to do all that."
Well, the boundaries of staying within the world of RoboCop aren't that steep. Yeah, I would say. I mean, any kind of messy gang members is not too hard. And another sort of higher up CEO kind of guy is going to fit right into what it's kind of going for.
Big corporate. But the thing I wanted to bring up is the reason I was bringing up. I got to refine the screenshot. Pickles, is because there's a really cool. Like I said, talking about other lines of dialogue and stuff like that. But during a mission with Pickles, you're going into a movie store because Pickles is trying to find a specific movie. I'm not going to give you the full detail, but he's trying to find a specific movie for some RoboCop storyline. But during it, every time you keep picking up movies and he gives you movie trivia about the movie. He's like, oh, that's not the one I'm looking for, but here's some cool info about it. And Pickles' movie nerdiness was endearing to me because I happen to be a movie nerd and I enjoyed it. But there's a part where he picks up a movie and the Pickles describes how the person made that movie. He's like, yeah, the director of that movie, he literally read the script and was like, oh, that's garbage. And he threw it in the garbage. And then he's like, later on that day, the director's wife picked the script up out of the trash can, read it herself, and was like, honey, this is actually kind of cool. I think you should do it. I think you should reread this, and give it another go. And, the director ended up rereading the movie. He's like, you know what? Okay, I'll trust your instincts on this, honey, and I'll do the movie. And that's actually how Peter Van Housen did RoboCop 1. He threw the script in the trash. He thought it was stupid. His wife told him to take a day, reread it, and give it another go. He did, and then he went on to do RoboCop 1. That's the story that Peter Van Housen has set up.
That's a fun little detail to put in the game.
It's a cool little Easter egg that you don't know unless you know. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And then there's a couple other little knickknacks. Because there is an achievement for it. Because one of the biggest lines of RoboCop is, I'd buy that for a dollar. That's all over the play, you know, that's in the original and stuff like that. But several times, not several times, but there's moments throughout where, I think there's an achievement for it, obviously, I'd buy that for a dollar, but no one actually says the line. There's only a spot later on, later in the game where you're doing some side quests, where like you walk into a convenience store and the guy's like, a dollar? No, dude, it's $23.50. Where'd you get a dollar from? And it's to be like as if someone had just said, I'd buy that for a dollar, but they never actually say the line, which I think is kind of funny because they're like, they want people, because it's one of those things they want people, people want them to say it, but they didn't know where to put it because they just didn't want to use it too much. But it is, these, it's made with love. If you like RoboCop at all, you will definitely enjoy this game.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And not some of the RoboCop gets a jetpack in RoboCop 3. I'm talking RoboCop 1. The best one. No, because we had just watched all the RoboCops.
Yeah. We watched them because we were playing the game. Yeah. I think we had beat the game. Like, should we watch RoboCop movies? We're like, yeah, why not?
I mean, I own all of them.
Yeah.
But for me, RoboCop 1 is great. RoboCop 2 is okay. RoboCop 3, whatever. But the RoboCop remake that had been 2014 or whatever, I genuinely liked that one.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because they do a good job.
Nobody, that movie was panned and kind of just crashed and burned, basically, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Man, it was just like, I mean, what in...
Because they...
I mean, it's funny, as we mentioned before, okay, people are like, RoboCop is a known name, okay? Mm-hmm. RoboCop 1, it's fine. Like, it's not a revolutionary kind of a thing. RoboCop, so like, I don't get being so butthurt about like anything the remake would do differently. The remake is arguably, and you know, burn me at the stake, like the remake is just fine too. It's just as good. It's a different era of movie making. The remake is just as good as the first. I would say almost just as good as the first movie, because it's, there's not a lot to say with RoboCop.
No.
You know, there's not a lot to say. If you wanted to say some goofy lines and blow some heads off, and that's what the remake does. He says some dumb stuff and blows some heads off, and it looks cool. You know, he's got some fancier. It's modern. He looks a little fancier. It's done at a different time. You know, and it's just, and I guess some Wi-Fi connectivity, and there's some other cool features that you kind of wish the old RoboCop had. But it's just like, I don't know why we're so precious about the original. That's not that complicated and not that deep. When this remake should have. And then now, because the fans, whatever, pan this remake, you don't get any more RoboCop. So, yeah, like, congratulations.
It's silly. Well, the other thing, you know, too, is you think...
I would say, like you said, you know, 2 is like, and 3 is like, I would stand by RoboCop 1 and RoboCop Remake being the ones to watch.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Because the second one kind of tackles some of the issues, and which they do bring up in this one, where, like, RoboCop does have, like, glitches and stuff, and he's like, look, you know, he sees his wife, and they don't even talk about his family hardly in the movies. They're like, oh yeah, they're there, but they can't know he's alive, because imagine the psychological trauma that would cause them to that. But that's like one of the main points of the remake, is the family is there, and it's the corporation keeping him, and it plays better because he's a family man. That's what keeps him human.
I say his quote unquote death is a little less dramatic in the remake. He's like blown up by the car, isn't he?
Yeah, he's blown up
in the first movie. They're like,
Peter Weller's blasted, his knees
blown
blasted.
Away by a shotgun.
Yeah, it's violent. It's
way more violent. So the death is cooler.
It went from R to PG-13.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, trying to think. But yeah, just like I said, RoboCop. They hold this very faithful to source materials and stuff like that. But it does use the retrofuturism, which I enjoy. Trying to think, some of the side quests were kind of like you said, you go around, you can issue tickets and get public trust. I accidentally, because I wasn't sure on some of the dialogue, I made some like a bad choice for a person. I arrested a kid who was spray painting when I meant to give him a citation.
Yeah, I was reading a note. I didn't understand what it was until I remember what it was. There's a radio. There's radios in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a person selling just random products. They're all joke products. But there's this one, I kept rereading this, and I was like, what is that? Why is that funny?
The nap time.
The nap time one. There's a one, I don't know the whole thing. It might be in your game. Do you think you caught it in your game, maybe?
Definitely. I listen to all this stuff. It'll be.
So it's a guy selling a product, and it's about making your kids go to sleep. And the tagline for it is Snookers, nap time just became your decision. Yeah. So I kept reading that note, and you're talking about like side content. So that radio, and there's other radio selling other silly products. So there's like red joke radio stuff in there. But that was one of the early ones I caught that actually made me laugh, like legit laugh, because I was like, that's hilarious.
That's that satire that Peter Van Housen did in the first movie. For those who also don't know, Peter Van Housen did the first one. Peter Van Housen also did Starship Troopers 1, which that share a very similar satirical thing where they would throw in literally a random commercial in the middle of the movie to help like world building and stuff like that. And yeah. He's known for that, and he does a really good job, and they do a really good job imitating that. Mm-hmm. You should be walking, and you'll see a random commercial on TV, or like you'll hear a radio commercial about stuff like that, and it is good.
Anything else about side missions? Because we got to talk about the shooting range for a minute, probably. Anything else? Any other psych? The psych, so you just walk around, people will be arguing, you'll talk to them, and you'll give one a ticket or tell them to knock it out, you know, out. It's just minor crimes. You can do a ticket or you can let, so when you let somebody go, you build that arbitrary background public trust. If you don't write a ticket to every single person, I think you can put a ticket on a car next to like a no parking sign and stuff like that. Or parking next to a fire hydrant. You can do like random things. They don't really tell you. Like I think it pings you if you're nearby, these little petty crime kind of things. What you can do is I think you have to issue a number of is there a trophy for tickets or issuing a ticket? There's probably some trophy or
achievement or something. I think there's one early on for like completing a couple of things. But yeah, we can talk about, I'm trying to think. The only other thing is there's a moment later when you have to rescue Dr. Blanche and these mercenaries are attacking, they light the building on fire. And you have an achievement there for rescuing a kitty cat, which is kind of cool. He's always good to rescue animals. But that's one of those cool things. It's a RoboCop thing that I didn't realize is, but as you're a RoboCop, there's all this fire everywhere and you have to try to find a path through the burning building for Dr. Blanche. RoboCop could just walk through fire.
Easily.
Walk through the fire. He could just like literally just he just walks through the fire. Like no, like there's people like shooting at you through the fire. You just walk through and just grab them and throw them
into the fire.
Oh yeah, So I was like, because the game didn't explain that you're immune to fire because you don't really have any fire.
I think it's just like you just have to assume because you're a robot.
Yeah. The only other thing the game does tell you that you're immune to is RoboCop is immune to fall damage.
Yeah.
There's a really cool thing later where like part of the story, like is it a tutorial? It might be a little bit later, but part of your thing is you have nowhere to go but to like fall down an elevator shaft, and your first instinct is like, is it going to kill me? There's got to be something. I can't just fall down an elevator shaft.
There's a really nice sounding land.
But then like the hint's like, oh, BTW, you don't take fall damage. And you're like, what? When you find it's pretty cool.
Sounds cool, yeah.
But yeah, I think that does everything. Well, I did just mention glitches, and I want to talk about that for just a second, then we can do the final thing. But there's a glitching thing that happens earlier in the game. It happens periodically throughout. But there's one, and it was very reminiscent of I didn't write down the number of the episode that we've spoken about, but these glitches, you know, he's like super glitching out, and it turns into like M.C. Escher stairs, where you're like walking around his living room up and down, in like a forever staircase. And then it's slowly like you finally make it to a door and you open up the door and you're in like a shopping mall. And then as you're progressing to the shopping mall, all these people, like you see your wife and you see your kid, you see Ann Lewis. But as you're running up to like rescue the person that you're seeing, that turns into like a mannequin. And then eventually the whole mall fills with these mannequins. And it felt very reminiscent, like psychologically horror, but it felt very reminiscent to Get Even when you're walking through insane asylum with all the mannequins that would appear in like random locations and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I'll say it's funny you mentioned that game right now, because I literally when you said we played one of their games and it was a shooter and it was kind of like kind of unknown, blah blah blah, and I was like, did they make Get Even? Because I was just like, it seems like that laptop gun and stuff like that. I was like, man, it'd be kind of cool if they're the ones that made Get Even.
Yeah, they didn't. But they had that cool feel in the mall. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
That's a cool game. We haven't mentioned it in a long time. People go look up, all constantly on sale for like. Yeah, dollars.
Get Even is dope.
It's a cool game.
But yeah, I thought that was definitely worth mentioning. And I don't know how hard it'll be, but there is it's got a good action. It's weird because while you play through the game, there is an absence of music. Like when you're just walking around town, there's just, you hear sirens and it's footsteps and there's people talking. There's an absence of like a score. It's
probably like a low score, I imagine, like an ambient score.
No. There is a, there's score like when you do action, like when you do like an action scene or something like that.
Can we talk about how the movies have one song?
Yeah, they just have the one song. I think that's
all for all three movies. They have one song,
and I think that's the song that plays during the action sequences.
Yeah, there's one song that RoboCop has.
Because I think the main focus is they want you to hear the footsteps.
Yeah.
And the ambient noise, like the sirens in the background and the occasional gunshot. But there is literally because I make note of it in the videos. I'm like, there's no music. There's none. And then, like, when you hit an action moment, then there's some of this, like, the torch heads have, like, a rock song, and the vultures have, like, a rock song that plays on, like, the radio. And it's, like, their theme, but you only see it during, like, moments that you interact with them. And then, of course, you blow the radio up, and it stops immediately. But there's probably, like, three songs of this entire thing, and half the time you don't even hear background music. It's just the thumping of RoboCop steps. But yeah, so we can get to the final stage, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to pin this like it's like a big deal, but it is like the thing that we kind of the thing that can maybe stop some folks from getting all the achievements. There is a, we really hate this achievement tied to the shooting range. I think it's a reference to shooting ranges in the movie.
Yeah, it's part of the staple with like his montage. The first time you see that, automatic, like, brr, brr, he's like blasting away there. Shooting range.
Oh, that's right. They all do like that. They stick their heads out and see who's shooting. So yeah, the shooting range is there. You have to get the highest. You have to get the highest score, I think, for an achievement.
It's like what one?
I don't know the number. Who? I don't know about that. Yeah. So, I would, unless you're like super amazing, I would say this is nearly impossible. I'm sure there's videos online, people doing it with like a no upgraded freaking Auto 9, whatever. I get it. You're good at video games, but like we didn't get this. Did I do yours?
I think you ended up doing.
I think I did yours.
I got everything but that one.
I think I did yours off recording. Like there's no recording of you. There's probably recordings of you trying.
Oh yeah, there's a couple.
It's in the video. So, but what it really is getting the best score. That it's like I got it late. I would have got it late game by using the no reloading because it takes time to reload. So with the auto feeder and then the full auto, that's how I would have eventually gotten the high score and popped the achievement on that. I'm just saying because the shooting range is always there. You go back to the police station throughout the game multiple times and talk to your coworkers and stuff like that, and then get other little side missions, and then the shooting range is there. So something I want to mention that if you keep an eye out, that a shooting range can be difficult. I hate shooting range achievements. They're in tons of video games. Usually stuff like that will cost us a game complete, like a 1K completion or a platinum trophy. That stuff like that can kind of ruin a whole run like that for you because you just can't do it. Shooting rangers are just hard. They're always hard or made harder than they need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I got to really want to say, but we ain't got to end on that. I don't know if you got anything else to say. I want to end on the shooting range. It's like a weird place to
trying
end.
Trying to double check.
That's actually all my notes, I think. I think I could talk to everything about everything on my notes.
Because one of the things, because you do...
I did have one. So the old factory has a big, big fight with a bunch of the corporate guy. He's got his it's in the movie. He has his own...
The UEDs, Urban Enforcement Droids.
So there's a big fight with a bunch of those, and you have to do it within a time limit. That sucks, But I actually... So I'll just say, the old factory, I had a hard crash. My game hard crashed right there, but I pinged the achievement for anyway. I was like, okay. So then all I had to do was like load back in and like kill everything again, which is kind of annoying. One hard crash.
There's a lot that goes on in that room. There's
a bunch of robots. I don't know why it hard crashed there among anywhere else. Who knows? I mean, games crash sometimes, but one hard crash for the whole thing. And I wrote my last note here. I don't know if it helps you remember at all. Explosive section, the bomb disarm.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying.
That's the last note that I have. Hopefully, you remember anything because I do not remember it.
It's not only you have to go at that point because having just rewatched a lot of the footage, mm-hmm. it's literally one of the last things you do. It's like literally in like the big the finale of the game is you have to go through this whole crew of people and then you get to a bomb and the bomb's like. It doesn't really tell you because you don't know how to disarm a bomb, but you have somebody on your phone going, hey, you have to go to the lowest voltage and work your way down. And I'm just like, what does that even mean? You don't have anything to reference. You just have someone who's reading out of a manual on the other side of town because they found it at the police station because the bomb squad's not there because they're off doing something else. And then I died. Like I clicked the wrong thing. I think I died before I made it to the bomb and had to redo the whole section to make it to the bomb. And then when I got to the bomb, I still died of the bomb like three times. And it kept, I was like, am I stupid? And I finally ended up getting it, but that bomb thing was slightly, yeah. But it's also the only time you ever had to do that mechanic. Time to
do it. Yeah, I don't have any memory of it, but I wrote it down because I must have been annoyed.
Yeah, because it was like 1, 2, 3, 4 panels, and then each panel has like 3 and 2, and you have to like go to literally zoom into each panel, and you're like voltage 4, voltage 32, voltage 54, voltage. You have to literally do it, but you have to follow the lines. And you have to find the connector pieces. You can't.
At least it's a one-up. I mean, yeah. At least you're not disarming 15.
It sounds annoying. It was annoying, but you can get through it. But it's rough. I didn't. I didn't really care for that too much. I also really enjoyed talking about combat. It was the semi-destructible environments. Like you can go through. You pick up computers. You can throw computers, bikes, certain desks. You can blow a lot of things. It's weird. Like, so much stuff could blow up that I didn't think could blow up, but then there's so much more stuff that I thought would blow up that didn't.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird. But you could also like have environmental things like paint cans and fuel cans. And
my second achievement was killing somebody with a thrown object.
Yeah,
imagine Robocop throwing something at you. No matter what he throws, it's going to kill you.
Yeah. And then one of the cool things you talked about at the pillars. You do this through part of your cover. Is the pillars are like, semi-destructible.
It's like the Matrix. Like yeah. That scene in the Matrix. Is it Matrix 2?
Matrix 1 is their walk into the lobby.
Is that Matrix 1?
Yeah, it's the...
It's been a long time since I've seen
guns.
It.
And it's where they literally shoot the pillars all the way down, but like the centerpiece is pure concrete.
Yeah.
And you get to do that in RoboCop. And that's... You can shoot at people hiding behind the pillar, or you can use the combat. And you're watching it blow away in front of you in like real time is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like doing that a lot.
Breaching? We forgot to...
We mentioned the word breaching. You can take over that. Yeah.
Breaching is breaching. It is what it is, but it is fun to like breach in this game because you him basically arm palming or kind of shoulder ramming a door and blowing the doors off its hinges, and it goes into a slow motion. What's fun sometimes is somebody standing on the door.
Oh yeah,
they and you go see flying.
Their corpse flying.
Yeah, but you get a slow motion section when you breach a door, and you get to like slow down. It slows down time. You get to cap every bad guy that's in the room. Mm-hmm. I think only one time ever I missed one, and like they like shot the little hostage, whatever. But it wasn't like a fail state for the game. But like
I failed the very first one. I think I didn't kill everyone.
But again, when it comes to like the sound, the sound of breaching, everything blowing up as you run through, and then kicking and blowing the heads off everybody, feels good. And it sets up breaches like there's a dozen or more. There's
so many throughout the game.
Yeah.
And there's another point where it's not a breach. It was really cool. I was in the steel mill or train yard, and I was killing a bunch of the street vultures. And they were shooting at me because they could hear me. Most of the time, like, you walk down a hallway and you're like, let me step into this room, and you inch your way up. But it only happened once in the entire game. But for the first time ever, enemies were shooting me through the walls, a la like some modern day first person shooters. What was that game on Xbox? Black. I think it was just called Black, where you could shoot through the walls and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I turned, and they were literally blowing holes. And I was like, I wonder. If they're shooting through, and I was able to shoot through, and I was highlighting them, so I was like, I want to, try something. It only happened one time during this part, but I was able to walk forward and just, without like doing like the breach room, but just like walk through the wall, and then I punched the dude through a wall again. I was like, it only happened like one time, but that moment was, like, again, the power fantasy of being RoboCop is real, and they achieve it with perfection.
Yeah.
Especially, like you said, once you get upgraded and the bullets start ricocheting off you and stuff like that. But walking through that drywall was really cool. It was like a small hallway. It was like 3 or 4 rooms.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I really enjoyed that moment. It felt really cool. And I have you do get to do a jail scene where you arrest the main bad guy, Antonowski, and he's so smart that he turns all the gangs in jail against one another.
Sure. All the gang, yeah.
Sure, all the game, yeah. But you do get to go through a maximum security prison and just murder all the prisoners.
So that was like, so I told you too, there's a guy that you meet earlier in the game.
In a side quest, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess you didn't go through the laundry room, I guess, because he's in the laundry room just like doing his thing. You get a bit of dialogue from a guy that you arrest. Instead of killing, you arrest him. Mm-hmm. And he actually shows up in the prison. He's in the laundry room just trying to like not die.
He's like, I just like folding laundry, man. He's like, it's all I want to do. He's like, I just love cleaning. But you do, I don't remember that guy, but there's another dude who's like, he's the TV commercial director. And he's snapped.
Not really, I don't remember.
He's like, I'm on the basketball court, and he was just like, what are you doing here? You have to hit, and he's just like trying to direct everything, and he's like, now, he's like, I want you guys to go over here and kill everybody, and he's just saying stuff that, for actions that are already happening, but he thinks he's directing this prison riot that's going to go in his movie, because you arrest him earlier in the movie for, like, he bashes in a hooker's head or something if he's trying to blackmail him. Because, again, the violence is there. Like, the world that RoboCop presents to the world is a horrible dystopian world. It's not good.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job of constantly reminding you how awful this world is and how janky. But that dude was kind of funny because he just snapped in prison. Yeah. But there's a line of dialogue that I have here for the main bad guy, Wendell Antonowski. Is if someone's getting mad at him, and this is before you find out this dude's kind of a bitch. But he has like a cool moment when one of these henchmen that he's hired is like getting really mad because the plan's falling apart. RoboCop's there, and his line is, "Keep your anger to yourself before I share mine with you." And he holds a gun to the guy, and the guy's like, "Oh, sorry, boss. I'm so sorry." And like, it makes him seem like a really cool, collected, you know, because anytime a villain loses their cool and starts yelling, the villain's not as cool. I like
we talk about that off the podcast all the time. When a villain loses their cool, it's just they're suddenly less interesting.
It depends on the type of villain. Sometimes villains are like,
what's the one I mentioned, The Matrix in passing, but the movie we watched, Jupiter Ascending
with Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne's character is incredibly creepy until he starts losing his cool.
He starts like yelling at people, and you're like, oh, you're not as like, you know, when he's like doing like the whisper talk and stuff like that, you know. But
this ain't the Jupiter Ascending podcast. Yeah.
But it said, not very long. I said 19 hours, you can get the 1K. And I did follow a side quest guide to make sure that I saw everything in the game. That's the only thing. It was on Steam. It was a side quest guide. Yeah, I shared it with you.
Probably, yeah. There's not even, but I don't need to, I think you just wanted to see really. I don't even know if there's even that many achievements attached to the doing all the side quests.
Some of the stuff that's like hidden off to the sides.
Yeah, it's not big or complicated. No.
But you don't want to, and then once you get one of the upgrades, the scanning upgrade, it does show all the points on your map, so I only needed the guide for like the first two chapters until I got that ability. There is a total, it's crazy how many missions and stuff there are, but how fast you can get through it. There are 57 missions in the game. There are 27 side and 31 main.
Really? That sounds like so much.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
Let's just roll through them pretty quickly, I guess.
You really, like I said, I think sometimes there's multiple, like, because as you like, oh, you like, your mission is break into the here, and beat this guy. But then you do that, and you find out there's a bigger threat, so it starts another mission. So I think it's kind of
rolls
tied together pretty well.
Yeah.
But again, 19 hours for 57 missions and a 1K.
Yeah, it's fast. Seems fast.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? And do you have a rating?
I thought of one while we were sitting here. It's gonna be higher than it needs to be, but I'll explain why.
Okay. Yeah, you go first, and I'll do mine.
Okay. So I did enjoy this game. Talking about it again has been fun. I hope people will go watch Blake's his little series. Why did he pick RoboCop to be our first YouTube thing?
It was just...
it seemed simple enough, and Blake likes RoboCop. Yeah. I mean, and I figure, I mean, it's like, this is like any... I mean, it's not like we're not big RoboCop fans, but it was a simple enough game to like record and just put out and wouldn't have to edit hardly anything, I would hope, except for when times he fell asleep.
Yeah.
It's not the game's fault. Blake falls asleep playing anything. So, yeah. But it's a really good RoboCop game. That's why I'm going to stand behind. Like, if you want a RoboCop game, you don't want anything more than, like, this does everything you want to do. It checks all the RoboCop boxes. Not that there's that many RoboCop boxes to check, but like, anything you can think about RoboCop that you want to see in a video game, just has it all. It does it right. It feels good. The shooting's nice and clean and fun. It never gets old, like blowing people's heads off in this game. After you shoot the one guy in the privates, you do that more. You do it more if you want to. But I just moved to headshots and start just blowing everybody's freaking heads off. Oh, and it's violent and fun. We didn't mention the last boss, but that's just like another big robot. You just shoot a bunch. It's kind of
mentioned it earlier. That's
kind of cinematic. It's kind of cinematic and kind of talking about it's cool. But I say higher. I'll rate this a little higher than maybe anybody else would rate it, because I'm rating this as not just a video game, but like a RoboCop game. And what you want out of a RoboCop game, this game gives you 100% a RoboCop game. So I'm going to give this 8 guys I shot in the PP out of 10. And that seems high. That's probably higher. I mean, that game is pretty well received.
Yeah.
But I think people are like to say an 8 or a 9. Like, I mean, it is an 8 or a 9 RoboCop game. It really is. It's doing everything you need a RoboCop game to do. And it avoids the open world mistakes that could have been made.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you're also not the only one that thinks that. I was looking at some of these things. It says the most authentic adaptation of the series. It is a respectable adventure. It's one of the better shooters of the year that it came out in the 2013. And when it came out, VG247 rated it the best shooter of 23, saying it's a worthy follow-up to the original. It's the most worthy follow-up to the original film that's ever been produced. It's people say it's the best RoboCop game that's ever come out.
There's been some like Genesis games back in the day, yeah. Sidescroll, which people like, I think.
It says there's a really, really bad panned one that was like in the early 90s, I think. It was like
maybe it was that one. I think there's like a Genesis game.
And they say that the praise of the graphics and the great use of the Unreal 5, like a lot of people are talking about it. Then, of course, one of the other things is like it's a dull storyline, has uneven pacing. I'm like,
that's RoboCop.
That's RoboCop.
That's RoboCop. We said that there's not a lot to RoboCop.
No.
You know,
people like it's a dull story. Oh my god, when's the last time you back?
And hey, have you watched the movie recently?
Yeah. This isn't the cartoon or anything. Go back and rewatch the movie.
And this is the movie.
Yeah, and it does a fantastic job. And other things like its sales weren't like miraculous.
Because RoboCop's not the last movie was 2014. RoboCop's not in the zeitgeist. Yeah.
But it says right here that I don't know why they picked this particular one, but it says in the UK, RoboCop Rogue City debuted 4th in the physical media chart. The very next week, it fell down to 13th place, which is a 64% drop in sales. So, but right here, this is another thing that I kind of like Nacon for. It says right here that Rogue City's publisher, Nacon, said that Rogue City exceeded their expectations, and it was the biggest launch they've had for a video game. And it was 435,000 players in the first 2 weeks.
We talk about this stuff occasionally on the podcast. Some things come out and sell millions of copies, but like nobody's talked about RoboCop since 2014.
When you think about that, you're like 435,000. That doesn't seem like a lot. That's 500,000 people almost. And
that's about the fan base of RoboCop.
Frankly,
let's be honest. The 400,000 people who still love RoboCop to this day.
But you think about that, you're like, that's 435,000 people. Mm-hmm. Not doing sales tax or anything like that, but you're like, say $60 a pop. That's $26 million. Yeah. That probably paid for the game and then some.
Yeah, possibly. We don't get into all the numbers, numbers, but like, that's about, it's about the audience you would expect for a RoboCop.
Well, the fact that Nacon said it exceeded their expectations. That's they're awesome just kind of like, we know it's niche.
It's not like the constant thing from Square Enix, like Final Fantasy 16 sold millions of copies and it's not good enough. That's the constant Square Enix. Nothing's ever good enough for Square Enix.
Oh, yeah. Rebirth
performed below 16 performed below, Forspoken performed below expectations. Yeah. Like nothing's ever good.
You gotta hamper your expectations, guys.
Yeah. You're not the company you used to be. So we're not gonna get into that.
Yeah,
wait for Clyde. When you got Square Enix is not your friend.
That'd be a decent one.
Yeah, get us on the Square Enix is not your friend.
We'll definitely come on and talk about
for Clyde, not your friend, YouTube series.
But yeah, we kind of went off on a quick tangent, but I wanted to say that people shared your enthusiasm and stuff.
It's a good game. Enjoyed it. Don't regret playing it.
Not
if the standalone thing comes, if it's standalone digitally, $5 or $10, we'll buy it and do it.
I mean, I spent $20. I mean, you make $10.
Yeah,
no problem. Like I said, mine. Because again, the best thing in the entire game was the Auto 9. Was the gun, the violence, and so mine reflects yours.
Of course,
I have 8. Auto 9 dismemberments out of 10.
Nice.
Because, just blasting heads off, blasting arms off, or like when someone goes to throw a grenade at you and you blast their hand off and the grenade falls to their feet and blows up. It's got really good.
I think one of my notes, these dudes throw a lot of grenades. I think it was in my notes. These dudes throw a lot of grenades.
Especially the mercenaries. The mercenaries were chucking stuff.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'm glad they didn't do, at no point was I ever like, which happens in other games where like, oh no, my one weakness, every enemy in the game has it. Like no one was chucking like EMP bombs or mines.
You're steadily getting to a point where stuff doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, like yeah.
Like, you're a freaking RoboCop.
But it's certain, like, other things would be like, oh no, now the enemies have...
They have EMPs, and now I can't move.
Yeah, like,
and no. The random street gangs have this nonsense. Like, that doesn't do that.
No. Like, the mercenaries... The
video game mistakes that other companies would make.
The mercenaries at the end of the game are using higher caliber guns, which makes sense because they're a mercenary group.
Yeah.
But still, none of them were chucking out EMPs. Like, you were getting hit with, like, rockets and, like, a lot of grenades and stuff. Mm-hmm. But
nothing RoboCop can't handle.
Yeah.
I mentioned that. I'm surprised I'm not some douchebag with an EMP and like fuzzing your screen or some nonsense that would be put to a video game.
There was something like that with the Street Vultures. There was a dude called a broadcaster and he sent out like a wave that kind of made things get...
I don't even remember.
But if you kill him first, it don't matter. But the whole point of the broadcaster was he would signal for reinforcements.
Yeah. More dudes to blow their heads off.
Yeah, if you see him, because they always hit up, but if you they hit up high so their broadcaster hit more people, then murk them first. And I walked around a lot with the scanning thing, my left trigger constantly held down, scanning all the environments and picking up people and stuff like that, but yeah.
Cool. That's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out our next game there. So I mentioned the Sega Genesis a minute ago. I'm pretty sure the game we're about to talk about, pretty sure it's a Genesis game because we played it on the randomly enough the Switch Online randomly has the Genesis on it and a pack of Genesis. I think it's so strange that Nintendo doesn't support anybody besides themselves. Nintendo is not your friend, I will say. So we did play a Genesis game because we still watch one of our old, I don't know the episode.
It's like 80. No.
Somewhere. But Ben Carthledge of One Credit Classics, I still watch his stuff, of course, because I like his content. I watched him play through Shining Force on the Genesis. He played it through an emulator, so he didn't. So we'll talk more about the version that we played. We played it on the Switch, Nintendo Switch Online. So we're going to talk about, ironically, we rarely talk about Switch games, but this isn't a Switch game. We just happen to have access to it on the Switch. We're playing in a Sega Genesis game on the Switch, which is the original Shining Force. We're playing it because I watched Ben's videos, and it actually looked kind of entertaining. It is a grid-based, what do you call these, Blake? Grid-based tactical game, fantasy.
Yeah, isometrical tactical RPG.
Yeah, we're going to talk a whole lot more about it on the podcast, the characters we used, why I like this, because I think I mentioned before, Blake's talked about a couple of the main ones, Final Fantasy Tactics, which Blake, we haven't had on the podcast yet, but like every time there's a grid-based isometric game, that's kind of like Blake's jam.
We kind of did it way back when we talked about Eichenfell. Its combat was isometrical.
Sort of. Eichenfell wasn't that complicated, yeah, though. This is bigger than that, yeah, a bigger game than that. But I don't normally play this genre. I really don't. I'm trying to get into it a little more now. Some of them just move too slow. I just don't like a lot of them. But there's I'll talk more about why I like this one, and I did play this one. Both of us played this one all the way through. Currently, where it's back in our brains again because we just finished watching Ben play all the way through Shining Force 2. And Shining Force 2 is also available on the Switch Online thing. So we're debating doing a... not debating. We're probably going to do Shining Force 2. We have to get
some other stuff first, but yeah.
Shining Force 2. So if you want to play it before the podcast, or if you have any old memories or you played Shining Force back in the day when you were a kid, we'd love anybody to write in and say something to us. We have listeners that are just too scared of us because me and Blake are too mean and vicious to have any listeners write in to us. The only person we're ever mean or vicious to is Brian.
Yeah, he deserves
it. And he deserves it.
Every bit of it.
So, if you played it, if you want to play it, a lot of people have the Switch Online. It's on there right now. The Sega Genesis stuff is on there. Play through it. It's a really... I'm going to spoil it right now. It's a really good tactical fantasy RPG. We'll talk about why it's good as compared to others on that episode.
And BTW, episode 60 was the Lock, Stock, and One Smoking Ben. It was episode 60.
There we go. So go back and listen to that. I didn't watch the Shining Force videos yet back then, so there'll be no mention of Shining Force on that video. Mm-hmm. But still a great guy, still making content. Go support One Credit Classics. Go support Not Your Friend, course, and go support our cousin Daniel's Zukovia's channel, who just wrapped up his season 3. So go watch all our friends and family.
Yeah, we need to go back and finish the last episode because he did like a fireball, like super spicy chicken nugget challenge. We need to finish that episode.
Yeah, we're wrapping that one up so we can watch him eat super hot chicken nuggets and
playing some Mario, classic Mario.
So go support all our
friends and family making stuff. And speaking of that, you know, we do have our Twitch streams with our cousin Brian, twitch.tv/2smokingcontrollers, currently playing a rough playthrough of Dark Souls 1.
It's getting better.
It's maybe getting better. But Brian keeps telling me you shouldn't meet your hero. Because before we played backwards through Dark Souls 3 and Dark Souls 2 and now Dark Souls 1, I've been telling Brian, Dark Souls 1 is my favorite. That's the one that I consider a masterpiece. It's the one that we played first. We dabbled in Demon's Souls. And then Dark Souls is the first Souls game we beat all the way through, got all the achievements. I love Dark Souls back in the day. It's been 15 years since I played the 360 version. This is us jumping back in. We've played three, Dark Souls 3 and 2 and 1. There's quality of life stuff that's missing. That has been a massive hindrance. I keep telling Blake, we'll do stuff. I'll say it during our Twitch streams, and afterwards I'll talk to Blake after the thing. I told you this, Brian. I'm always asking Blake, how did we do this? I have no memory of this being so difficult. Like the connecting to each other. Mm-hmm. Not the summon signs. That works fine. It's like, it'll be in the Dark Souls podcast, but like when you in the 2 and 3 you get to a bonfire, then you can warp back and help your friend get to the next bonfire and warp back. That's not in Dark Souls 1. But me and Blake played all the way through Dark Souls 1 back in the day. It's the first one we ever got all the achievements in and beat. I'd have no memory of struggling to move through that game to help each other. And I keep asking Blake, what did we do? Like, why is this so hard? It's so hard to move through this game and come back and help each other, because we do every area 3 times. We do it once for me, once for Blake, once for Brian. And it's been so difficult and like flat out unfun, which has been driving me nuts. Changing weapons. Blake said it might help me. I'm changing weapons. I've been playing a weapon I didn't like. I was doing a spear build, not having fun at all. Brian's giggling and smashing people with a giant sword. I'm jealous. I did that in Dark Souls 2. Blake did it in Dark Souls 3. So everybody gets a smashy sword playthrough. And Blake's doing Pyromancy and throwing fireballs, and I'm poking fools with a spear, and nobody's dying. I've switched to katanas. Come watch the streams. These streams are done. Brian has a fancy computer. Our Twitch streams are at least the Dark Souls one. We'll see in the future. At least Dark Souls 1 is all going to be from Brian's perspective on his fancy computer, because he can drop our new intro into the episodes, which is courtesy of Emerge. And Daniel, our cousin, has edited us together an intro video. All of that's dropped into the beginning. Very cool. You'll see the intro video also, as I'm trying to wrap this up, on Blake mentioned it before, and this is the RoboCop episode. As the recording of this podcast, if you go right now, the first episode of Blake's RoboCop playthrough is already posted to our YouTube channel. That's our first thing that's outside of a Twitch stream. He uses Twitch to record it because he does Twitch stream and play, but nobody talks on the Twitch streams, at least not until we have any kind of audience for it. Nobody, but that is our easiest way to record a video. So Blake Twitch streams and then rips it back, and then he posts it to YouTube, edits it mightily, drops in the intro. Every Sunday from this point until the next nine Sundays in a row, nine episodes of Blake's RoboCop will be out. Eventually soon, we have another. Blake has his next game picked out. We may have mentioned in passing. We won't mention it now until we get started doing it. But so go watch. If any of this RoboCop stuff sounded fun, go play it. Go play RoboCop. Support it, because it's actually a legit good game. Help, support us. Go subscribe to our YouTube thing, and you can watch our everything we play with Brian now. I forget when we started posting that stuff. It's not everything.
It doesn't start to like War Tales.
War Tales starts when we start posting our stuff to YouTube, and you'll get our Dark Souls stuff on there. But now RoboCop will be on there. Blake's got something else he'll be doing. I've been juggling, maybe putting, because as of right now, I would be the only person that doesn't have anything on the YouTube channel. I'll be juggling, maybe finding something for me to play. I'm not going to say anything right now. If I end up maybe playing something too, so all three of us have a presence on the YouTube channel, would be nice. Anyway, so support us that way. Come to the Twitch streams. Roughly every Wednesday, we're doing Dark Souls 1. So again, thank Jared and the guys of Emerge. Oh, the shows. Actually, when the episode comes out, it'll be past. Hopefully, you went to some Emerge shows. By the time this episode comes out, they had 2 shows. Big announcement, they got to open. They're opening for Seven Dust. By you're hearing this, it's already happened. I'm sure Jared's the happiest guy in the world. And 2, we would have already been to our concert is this week. of the recording. So you, when you hear this, nothing more. So when you hear that, when you hear this episode, me and Blake done been to the concert. Hooray! We'll talk more about it on the next episode. We've been to the show, and there'll be probably a pic if we can catch Jared in the miasma of people. We will get a picture of Jared and stuff like that. So thanks, Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use Letting Go for the intro to the podcast. And Blake got further permission because YouTube is picky about licensed music, which obviously why wouldn't they be? Blake got further permissions from Jared to use it for our YouTube intro. So it's all there. Good and golden. Thanks for that. Thanks, Devious Pixel, for the art for the podcast. And you should have posted your new thumbnail art.
I did. Well, starting with the RoboCop, it has a little cool thumbnail that Devious edited for me.
I might post that pretty soon to our social medias too, so everybody can get a look at the...
We can do that as the art for the... I can send it to you.
I've got it. So there's a brand new thumbnail, specifically the RoboCop thumbnail, which is...
It's stupid. Devious Pixel
or Milad Markovic, every time we tell him something we want, he takes it two steps above and makes it better than what we asked for. Every single time. If you need art, message this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, all art, we love artists, we love voice actors, we love creators. He always does it so much better than what we tell him. So go support Devious Pixel. Ask him for some work. Throw the guy some work. He's going to school. Give the guy some money. He needs some support.
Yeah, school ain't cheap.
School ain't cheap. So we love that. And circle always back around to thanking Brian for editing the podcast for us. He's been sticking around. And we ain't got to thank him for playing games because we all enjoy playing games together. But thank
getting
you for
getting mad together. Getting mad, a family that rages together stays together.
Yeah, all getting mad at Dark Souls. We've all had a really rough, all of us have taken turns having really rough nights in Dark Souls. Mine was the other night. I've had multiple rough nights. I've been not having fun. Back around the Dark Souls again. Brian has had some nights where I'm sure he wishes he wasn't playing Dark Souls 1. Anyway, so thanks, Brian, for sticking around and editing the podcast for us. And that's what I got. I don't know if you got anything else. I've been rambling for a while. We have a lot of cool stuff. And it's cool to have the RoboCop videos going up. It's kind of weird because it's been so long. My completion was like, we ain't got a date. I remember my completion was like July of last year.
Yeah, and the very first achievement I got was July 28th of last year, 24.
Yeah.
And my final achievement was August 8th of 24.
Man, mine was July 28th, started, and July 31st. So that's how long it's been since we did the RoboCop. It's kind of funny to bring RoboCop back around to have the videos and have it all ready and set up. It takes a while to make things, people.
Yeah, it does.
And we're not professionals, so just enjoy what you're getting. Mm-hmm. This is as good as it gets.
Just a little bit of self-promotion on my part, as I do have a short story that I self-published on Amazon called They Come This Night. It is free if you are a Kindle Unlimited member. Otherwise, it just costs $1. Very proud of it. Please go like and comment on that and stuff
read
like
it,
that.
Share it, review it.
I'm incredibly proud of it. I love it. We also do have a brother podcast called Suspension of Disbelief, where me and our good buddy Steve take turns semi-surprising one another with a movie. We do a deep dive. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it at all until we actually do the record, so our opinions don't influence the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Talk about movies that have quotes. The episode won't be out yet, but most recent movie would be Dirty Harry. Mm-hmm. It has the famous line.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like the misquote. The line's a little bit longer. It's like, do you feel lucky, huh? Do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah, which is famously quoted in The Mask.
And so many other things.
So many other things. Anyway, that'll be the most recent release episode will probably be Dirty Harry.
Yes, it should be. Yeah, it'll be coming up soonish. Mm-hmm. Please go check that out. Rate, review, all that fun stuff. We love everyone who listens. And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.